Hey Health Junkies, Dr. Krause here. Just wanted to jump in and let you know about a new feature that I'm adding to the podcast. It's the ability to ask me questions. I've had a ton of folks tell me that they would love for me to cover their questions on the podcast, so I'm going to do it. So each week I will be adding a couple of questions that I'm going to answer to each of the podcasts. And if it's a juicy enough question, I just may dedicate a whole podcast to it. So if you're interested in asking a question, head on over to my website at drjkrausend.com. Check out a blue button on the right-hand side that says Ask a Podcast Question. Hit me up there. Or you can also access the button through my podcast notes, also on my website. So head on over there, ask me some questions. I look forward to answering them soon. All right, let's get on with the podcast. Hey, Health Junkies, Dr. Krause here. Wanted to let you know about a couple things before we jump into the podcast. For one, phosphatidylcholine, it's a phospholipid. I tried to say it was an amino acid, losing my mind a little bit in this podcast. And we have 23 chromosomes. Two pairs of those chromosomes equal 46 total chromosomes. So I had a little brain fart on trying to get that out of my tongue twisted issue that I had in the podcast. So heads up for those little boo-boos that I made there. Now, another biggie I wanted to let you know. This podcast, I was long-winded, but I decided that I want to give you even more details in my next podcast following this one on steps to regenerate your health that can't be fixed by detoxing alone. So stay tuned, check out this podcast, and then I'll give you more details as to how to regenerate your health in the next podcast after this one, podcast episode 68. On to the podcast.
Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Jeanine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Jeanine Krause. And today's episode is all about poor diet choices and stress, and how those two suckers provoke autoimmune conditions. Now, the reason I wanted to have this particular podcast now is because it seems that every single person that's been walking into my office lately is ending up with an autoimmune condition. Now, I know that as a naturopath, I will end up seeing folks that have been unfortunately passed off by the common medical universe, which is unfortunate, but sometimes it happens, and they aren't finding the right answers as to why their body's freaking out. And sadly enough, stress is one of the number one factors combined with diet. And not only just diet, it's really how we keep our blood sugar under control. And unfortunately, I see this over and over and over again in my office where I've got ladies who come in and they're like, yeah, I used to be really fit. I ran a lot and I, you know, got married, had kids and kept running for a while. And then all of a sudden I started to gain weight and I became stressed and things happened, blah, blah, blah. You name the story. But the point being is that these women are now not able to be as physically fit because they hurt, they ache, they are extremely tired. And what's happened is that their weight has gone up because they stress ate. Unfortunately, it's so common, and I have a podcast all about it. I've been through it myself. In fact, I still deal with it, and we'll talk about that in a little bit here. But one of the things with stress is that when we release cortisol in the fight or flight situation, our caveman selves think that we're trying to run away from a bear. And so, of course, we need glucose in our bloodstream. So we need sugar in our bloodstream. And to do that, our body is going to take that sugar from either A, things we've consumed, so it's going to provoke us to want sugary treats, or B, it's going to break down our muscle and take stored glycogen, which is your carbohydrate stored in your muscle, and it's going to dump and it's going to use it for energy. And it's a common scenario that the more stressed you become, the more that your body thinks that it's starving. And it's a weird psychological thing because we stuff down our emotions because we're not getting what we want in life. That's our way to know, basically to control our self-love in a way, which ends up being self-hate in the end when you can't fit your clothes and you're really frustrated about why things aren't fitting like they used to and why you can't maintain the same body that you had when you were, you know, 21 or even 30 in my case. And so I decided that I wanted to do this podcast today in particular because I've got a lot of people coming to my office with the autoimmune conditions, but also because I think it's relevant. I was going to talk about itching and autoimmune conditions, but I want to skip over that for right now. I think it's really important to kind of put out my personal story a little bit today and then meld it kind of in with what I'm seeing in patients that are 10, 20 years older than me and wanting to speak to anyone who is in their 30s, even 20s, and under a lot of stress from life, work situations, whatever it may be, and you're starting to notice that things are becoming out of balance in your own self. So let me go into a little story about myself currently. I've been working really hard to try to work on my portion control and not eat as much. I'm really great at eating good foods and vegetables and things of that nature, but I love nuts. I think I've confessed my love for macadamia nuts over and over again. In addition to Kerrygold butter, which is great, high quality butter, but it has calories and fat. And my other addiction, which is really hard, and I don't go for it all the time, is chocolate. I love really dark, really rich chocolate, but it has sugar in it too. And, you know, I'm sitting here telling you guys podcast after podcast, you know, work on your diet, increase your veggies, do all those things. And I do all those things. But the one thing I noticed is that when I come home from work, I tend to get into a pattern now of making sure that I either have an extra bite of chocolate or I am going after more nuts or peanut butter on apple or something of that nature. And it's just a little bit, but it has over time contributed to some of my issues. And so my issues being my digestive system and coming off of a really stressful period in my life. Prior to starting this podcast, prior to everything that's happening now currently in my life, I worked, and it's funny I even say I worked, I was a partner in a business, in a natural health business, and it went terribly wrong. My business partner and I did not get along. We had to part ways, and in the course of us figuring out that we were really bad partners, I stressed myself out to no end, to the point where I found myself in the parking lot of my office, terrified to get out of my car because I didn't want to go into the office that day because I was that stressed out. Now, I'm not telling you this story because I want you to feel bad for me. I definitely don't want that. What I want you to think about is I want you to think about if this has happened to you, where you've been into a situation where maybe it's work, but maybe it's a family situation. Maybe it's a partner's situation where every little thing just set your fight or flight response off. You started sweating. You maybe started to shake uncontrollably from the inside out. Or maybe you just found that you were extremely depressed and all you wanted to do was go hide somewhere and find the nearest Ben and Jerry's tub and just dive face first in it. I was there. I was there between 2015 and the end of 2017. So 2 years. And while that might not seem like a long time, and I'm past that, I still am working on my eating in terms of not overeating in the evening. I'm still working on my digestive system that became really wonky in that time frame. Your digestive system, as I say over and over again, is your core to your health. And I see this happening with women gaining weight, and guys too, as we get older. And if you look around at the American population, we just keep getting bigger as we get older. There's something to this. And as we get bigger, we end up with more autoimmune types of conditions. And it's not okay. I want to stop this. So I chose this time to do this podcast because for me and for anyone else out there, whether you're noticing that you're having issues with dealing with stress and you're feeling overwhelmed all the time and tears come out more than smiles, this is where you need to work on stress more than anything and work on your blood sugar balance, because unfortunately, this is where folks end up with autoimmune conditions. It's crazy. There are over 155 autoimmune conditions that have been determined. And this is most recent research. And it's also estimated that 1 in 6 of us have an autoimmune condition and we're not even aware of it. In fact, the autoimmune conditions can start 15 to 20 years before we actually have full-on symptoms. Some of the most common signs that someone has an autoimmune condition brewing are fatigue, hair loss, weight gain, dry skin, digestive issues. And oftentimes there's a pattern in which these things develop, whether it's a big stressor or whether it is something like a viral infection or a yeast infection. And it doesn't have to be something super serious. It can be a herpes infection. So herpes 1, 2, 6, Epstein-Barr, which is a herpes virus, cytomegalovirus, any of these types of infections can provoke autoimmune conditions. Now, I'm not here to scare anybody. I just really want us to be aware. And the reason I do this podcast is so that I put it out there for everyone, much like a public service announcement, that these things are real. I see them every day. And whether or not conventional medicine acknowledges that these processes develop and unfold this way, I don't care. I see it. Let me tell you a story about one of my patients. She's 37 years old. She had a very serious snowboarding accident where she hit her head and tweaked her neck. So she herniated some discs in her neck and she had to have surgery. Not too long after that surgery, she ended up getting Epstein-Barr virus. Now, after getting mono, Epstein-Barr virus, she discovered that she can't control the pain in the right side of her body, in the right side of her neck. And add that on top of working 3 jobs to make a living and stressing herself out with just life in general, trying to keep working out, things of that nature. She ended up coming to me extremely depressed, having weight gain despite working out 2 to 3 hours a day, having a lot of swelling in her lower legs and her eyes. And we ran a battery of tests. And I kind of went down different angles and finally came to the conclusion that while we were looking at her thyroid under functioning and her hormones being low, so I was looking at her fight or flight glands, the adrenals, of course, with all the stress, I was ignoring the fact that she already had the autoimmune process happening in her body. And the reason I'm telling you about her is because I've looked back through a lot of my patients. And then, of course, this last past week, made it really obvious to me that there are so many people out there that have had significant stressors or multiple little stressors that caused them to end up with their particular autoimmune conditions. And so at this point, I'm looking at my one gal who's hardly functioning. She can't think. She has brain fog. She's having trouble getting out of bed. She's extremely depressed. She says she tries to break up with her boyfriend every couple days because she keeps telling him that he doesn't deserve her. And it's sad. So autoimmune conditions flat out can really deteriorate someone fast. Like I said, she's 37. This process started about 20 years ago for her when she fell, and it was just a snowboarding accident that turned into a neck injury that turned into mono, et cetera, et cetera. So if you're, you know, listening to this and you're thinking, wow, that could be me, or you're thinking, hey, I know somebody like that, get them taken care of and get them to either an infectious disease doc who will listen or a doc like a naturopath who can order some labs to know what this person's dealing with, what's out of balance, so that we can get things back in order. So let me tell you in this podcast a little bit about how we develop autoimmune conditions and really the nuts and bolts other than just a story. And I'll get back to where I'm at and where my patients are at and how I treat them, because trying to prevent an autoimmune condition from developing is absolutely huge. You want to do that because once things do expand to autoimmune state, it's hard. It's a long treatment and it's not easy to treat them, but it's possible. So let's go back to how do these autoimmune conditions develop. It starts with your innate immunity. Your innate immunity is your immunity that you have your skin, because it's protection. You have a beautiful ability to block things from getting into your skin. You also have your mucosal tissue, which is in your mouth, your nose, if you're a lady, your vagina, all the way down your esophagus, in your digestive system. This is your innate immunity. It makes you strong the better that these things are. And we're starting to find out that folks are getting chronic allergies and becoming chronically allergic to different foods, different environmental factors, molds if they've been exposed to these sorts of things. And that weakens their innate immunity. Leaky gut is a weak innate immunity. Any digestive issue, because your digestive system's so long, there's so much tissue, and it's surrounded by your lymphatic system that has a lot of white blood cells there. Now, you have your lymphatic system elsewhere, and I'm going to talk about that in a second. So now you have a weak immunity, and then a chronic infection underlying. So that's pretty common. Or chronic stress. Low level to high level, acute stress. It's just stress that hasn't been dealt with. Which is why I really think that it's important to dedicate a lot of this podcast to helping folks deal with stress, for sure. But, so you have the weakening immunity, you have a chronic infection or underlying low-level infection, so this could be herpes simplex 1, so cold sores, could be herpes 2, below the belt, but actually shows up on the mouth here too, chronic Epstein-Barr, cytomegalovirus, molds, etc., Lyme, also another biggie. All of those chronic infections or underlying low-level infections stimulate your immune system to go on attack. Because anything we've been exposed to, we have made antibodies to. And so those antibodies are like messages that go to your white blood cells. And your white blood cells make copies of everything we've been exposed to. And the more that your white blood cells see copies of antibodies made to a particular virus, bacteria, fungus, whatever it may be, it makes the body go on attack. Now, these white blood cells aren't specific. If there's areas of inflammation in the body, so say, for example, you started creating antibodies to your digestive system lining. So much like in the case of Crohn's, ulcerative colitis, those types of inflammatory conditions of the gut. Well, then what ends up happening is your white blood cells become overactive in the gut and they cause gut issues. But those white blood cells that are made in response to antibodies then go to any tissue that's inflamed. And so a lot of times I'll end up with folks with gut infections or gut issues that also have joint pain, that might have scleroderma, which is also a skin type of condition, or Raynaud's, which can be an autoimmune condition that attacks the blood vessels, the capillaries in particular, going to your hands and feet. So This is a big issue here. This is a problem. Because our antibodies are not as specific as they can be, which in turn makes me a little worried about folks getting vaccines all the time. Now, I have a podcast where I specifically note what vaccines that people should get. Now, whenever I recommend vaccines, I want folks to be healthy. But saying the word, I want them to be healthy, that can mean a lot of different things. Like, what is health to you? I've now just had a patient that came into my office who had a flu vaccine, put it into his arm, and developed frozen shoulder from it. Now, anyone who's in the vaccine-making world is going to say that's BS, it can't happen. Okay, well, maybe that vaccine didn't directly cause that frozen shoulder. But how do you explain why in the same shoulder that the person had the flu shot, they had this inflammatory reaction, left side of the body, and then ended up with a heart attack a month later, and all of their labs were completely normal prior to that? Kind of crazy stuff. Now, I'm just putting it out there for you to question. I'm not saying one thing or other. I'm not saying vaccines are bad. I think they're useful in some cases. I'm just thinking that maybe we should be running tests to see if anyone has any low-level viral infections or microbe infections prior to doing vaccines so that we know if someone is truly healthy enough for a vaccine, other than just answering, you know, if you have an egg allergy or if you have, you know, if you've been sick that day or week. So something to think about. Just a huge thing that I have been pondering in my head. I had the hepatitis B vaccine when I went into naturopath school because I am exposed to blood as an acupuncturist. And when I think about it, at that time, I ended up with lots of weird stuff happening with tons of bladder infections. And I hadn't had them prior to that. So I don't know. Kind of weird. I've always had gut issues. I can't blame that on anything. But I just think about these things. So I'm just putting it out there for you to just think about these things. Not saying vaccines are bad, just saying that there's some things we should think about before we get them. So to develop an autoimmune disease, there's got to be two full factors already in full, let's put it this way, full swing. One is tissue death, known as necrosis. This is cellular proteins getting into the bloodstream. So we don't want our particles of our cells into the bloodstream because it means if there's particles of cells in the bloodstream, that DNA information could lodge on another organ and cause issues. Like, for example, if we have cellular damage to our liver and some of our liver cellular proteins get in our bloodstream and they head over to our heart and they're stimulated to regenerate, you don't want your liver tissue on your heart. It doesn't work so well. So we have this built-in mechanism to go after any cellular proteins that get into the bloodstream. Now, those cellular proteins have info. They have DNA. That DNA we create an antibody to that DNA, much like we would create an antibody to a virus. So now this is where our self proteins become dangerous. So we create an antibody to our self proteins, the white blood cells make a copy of it, and then the white blood cells go out to seek and destroy anything that looks similar to that cellular information. Now, keeping this in mind, yes, there's liver proteins that are specific to our liver tissue, but our DNA, so our 23 chromosomes, all are pretty similar. So when we look at our chromosomes being similar, then we've got an issue here. Because, yeah, it could be liver tissue, but our DNA is going to look the same in all of our cells. And so our body starts attacking things it shouldn't. So our white blood cells start attacking things it shouldn't. And they get called to areas of inflammation. So if your joints are already inflamed because you've been pushing it to the limits, lifting weights, or doing a particular sport that you're overusing a particular area, this could cause issues. Now, the guy with the frozen shoulder, I asked him, do you have any sports? Is there anything you do that's repetitive? And he said his work was repetitive, not a sport, but work. And that could explain why the vaccine provoked an inflammatory reaction in that shoulder joint of his, and boom, took it from there. So, just a thought. Now, the other thing we need to develop autoimmune disease is a foreign protein, virus, or microbe. So, this is where I'm talking about the low-level infections. We either have self-tissue death happening, or we have a foreign protein, virus, or fungus, or something of that nature that generates an immune system response and keeps a low-level infection going in the body. I don't know how many people have chronic mono, so chronic Epstein-Barr virus, but it seems like everybody at this point, and when I tested anyway. And then it looks like a lot of the chronic fatigue, swollen lymph nodes in the neck, the jaw area, are related to chronic low-level reactivated mono. And I have many patients who have autoimmune conditions and mono. It's very connected. Mono and Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which is an autoimmune thyroid condition, very connected. Crazy stuff. So if you've ever had mono, I'm not trying to scare you. If you've ever had mono, and oddly enough, there's people that do not remember ever having mono and they test positive for a reactivation of mono, even though they've never had it. So they thought. So they might have been infected on a low level, and now the body can't keep it in check. The other interesting thing is that mono likes to live in the neck lymph nodes. And where does your thyroid live? In your neck. And so that's one of my thoughts in terms of why we often end up with Hashimoto's, is because the lymph system in the neck's trying to fight Hashimoto's for years and years. And one of the things to keep in mind about autoimmune conditions is that it's not so bad if those cellular proteins from cells that were damaged blew apart and stayed in your lymphatic system, because that's where we clean stuff up and get rid of it. But unfortunately, now we have lymphatic systems that are bogged down with chemicals, heavy metals, eating too many of hydrogenated oils, fats that we can't digest, or just eating too many fats or too many processed carbs. And what ends up happening is that lymphatic system gets bogged down. It can't get rid of those cellular proteins and they spill into the blood. That's when things go terribly wrong. So it's that heightened state of danger is what causes the immune system to go on the fritz and fight against everything. And one of the heightened states of danger, unfortunately, is the chronic living in fight or flight state, which a lot of us live in. Monday mornings are the number one day for heart attacks. Why do you think that is? I don't know. Serious case of the Mondays, I suppose, for some folks. But it's an issue. And I used to have, when I worked on Mondays, I used to get the shakes on Sunday night. It's crazy. And another big issue, like I mentioned before, is the blood sugar being elevated. A lot of us who are in fight or flight mode end up in fight or flight mode even more in the morning because we're rushing to get to work. We're not leaving ourselves enough time. And we're grabbing like a quick apple or a quick like donut on the way to work. Something that's full of carbs and sugar that's going to put your blood sugar up. This isn't a good thing for you. This is why the diets that promote protein, higher amounts of proteins and good fats in the morning are successful for folks. Now, I am not a carb hater, but I am a fan of controlling carbs. I'm not saying you can't have an apple in the morning. I'm just saying put something with it. Maybe you have an egg. Maybe you have something else. But the idea here is really working on trying to balance your blood sugar and not let it go off the handle in the morning. It's also why for some folks, the intermittent fasting actually works out better. Because if your blood sugar is super high in the morning because you're stressed out from life, you can't find what you're going to wear because your closet's too cluttered, kids are having meltdowns in the morning, whatever it may be, and your cortisol is off the charts because on top of all that, you don't want to go to work because your boss sucks or whatever it may be. This combination of everything keeps your blood sugar up. And if you don't eat and you do a little bit more fasting and have your first meal at lunchtime, or you do the bulletproof coffee, it can help you to stabilize your blood sugar better. Sounds crazy, but for those that are in active fight or flight mode, this can be absolutely useful. Now, for those that are in fight or flight mode, but their body's too tired to even respond to fight or flight mode anymore, So you wake up and you're like slogging to get out of bed and you're super tired. Not a good idea to be doing too much intermittent fasting. You actually need a little bit of energy, but same thing applies though. Just keeping in mind to keep it in check, because it might be the only time that your body's really puffing out a ton of cortisol and you don't want to mess with your blood sugar, because two predictors of how well you age, how well you deal with stress and how well you deal with your blood sugar, hands down. And I say it over and over again, because blood sugar being elevated, while you might not even have diabetes, I find over and over again that my folks who are slowly headed towards developing an autoimmune condition have elevated triglycerides. And your triglycerides are a direct connector to inflammation in your arteries. And what does that mean? Triglycerides are problematic. They're not a good thing to have elevated. They're a heightened sense of inflammation, meaning that your arteries are pissed off. They're irritated. So keep that in mind. And with blood sugar being elevated, when your blood sugar goes up, the more sugar that's in your blood actually rips the side of your arteries and can cause more plaquing. So if you eat a donut, and I'm not hating on donuts, I mean, I'm sure they're delicious to some people. I don't like the furry tongue feeling, but they have some hydrogenated oils when you fry them. It's not great oils. The frying oils are not good. We all know that though. But combine that with some frosting and sprinkles and boom, or maple frosting, and boom, you've got yourself a nice little blood sugar boost there. So unless you're going to run a marathon after eating your donut, most of us are going to go sit down at a desk or on the couch or whatever it may be, you're not going to do yourself any favor. So better to even consider putting the sweeter stuff in the evening so you sleep better. We'll talk about that later. So all that being said, is autoimmune conditions oftentimes end up happening because of our lack of nutrients, really. Our digestive systems become broken by eating frankenfood. The lining separates apart. We get leaky gut. Then we might end up with Crohn's. We might end up with ulcerative colitis. We might just end up with straight up colitis. We just might end up just having leaky gut and gas and bloating and constipation or diarrhea or whatever it may be. But what's happening once your gut becomes compromised is you don't absorb your nutrients. And one of the number one things to think about in terms of nutrients is we need basic antioxidants like vitamin C. We need vitamin E. We need magnesium. We also need zinc. Zinc's most directly connected with hair loss, by the way. Vitamin B2, B3, those are biggies. B1, thiamine. Riboflavin B2, B3 is niacin. These are big deals. But what a lot of us don't think about is that we don't take these in their natural form. We take them in synthetic supplements. And I've been a big promoter of synthetic supplements for a long time. My Designs for Health Twice Daily Multi is a synthetic B vitamin supplement. And I'm starting to find out now that my folks with autoimmune conditions can't tolerate those. We need things that are more whole foods based, restorative based supplements. The best company for this is Standard Process. They're out of Palmyra, Wisconsin. They're close to my hometown. I'm going to be straight up honest. They're not paying me to say their name or do any of this, but I'm saying it because if you're looking for a quality whole food supplement, if you have an autoimmune condition or you're suspecting you do and you want to help restore your nutrients, you want to go with the whole food stuff. You can't handle the synthetics. I'm not saying the synthetics are bad. They're not. It's just that for folks that have gotten into the start of the autoimmune process, a lot of times the supplements, you can't tolerate them anymore. And this is a big warning sign for me going, uh-oh, we've got system overload here. One of the most amazing supplements is vitamin C. And honestly, you can get a lot of vitamin C from your diet. Kiwi has a ton of vitamin C. We all know oranges, but our dark leafy greens, these are things that are wonderful sources of vitamin C if we can digest them. That's why smoothies and pureed, now notice I'm not saying juices because I think juices just don't have enough fiber, but smoothies are great. Unfortunately, a lot of us have, if our gut's compromised, we can't digest dark leafy greens. Like salads might be hard. And so blending up the greens into a smoothie is a lot better for a lot of folks. Or you just need a little help with some digestive bitters to help move things along. Now, another big thing, and this is one that I've noticed with myself where I've gone downhill. I don't eat dairy because it causes all kinds of problems for me, but it's worse for the people that are around me, if you catch my drift. And so I don't do it very often. And I miss out on calcium. Yes, you can get calcium from your dark leafy greens. You can get it from a lot of vegetables, broccoli, sesame in terms of seeds, tahini, all that stuff. But calcium lactate is one of the most amazing calciums to be able to help strengthen your bones, teeth, but also your innate immunity, your immune system. And yes, calcium lactate is a dairy extract there. And there are products that are dairy-free for those of you that have issues. Standard Process does have one that is not dairy-free, but there are other companies that have calcium lactate. And it's a great immune system booster. Echinacea is a great immune system booster as well. And it's fallen in and out of vogue over the years, but it is one that I do highly recommend. Now, if you're looking at your system and going, okay, my supplements are all synthetic and it seems that maybe I'm not feeling as good as I could. Well, one of my favorite tests, I guess you could say, to go on it is Catalin G. It is a Standard Process multivitamin, but it's a whole foods based multivitamin. So it's going to have animal parts in it. So those of you who are vegan, it's going to freak you out. But those of you who aren't, Catalin G, look it up, Standard Process. Might be something to really help you to restore your body's function and give you the basics. Another biggie that I find with folks who have autoimmune conditions is that they're not sleeping. And we need magnesium to sleep. We need zinc to sleep. We need different minerals to help us to sleep. And what I found is that a lot of folks will take the synthetic magnesiums, like magnesium glycinate that I talk about, and for the average folk, totally tolerate it, helps them to sleep. Magnesium citrate in the form of Natural Calm, it's like it's a drink that some folks take to help sleep, but also calm anxiety and go to the bathroom. But if you are tending towards autoimmune issues, you're going to start swelling a little bit from it. You're going to feel puffy and you're going to feel like it's not working anymore. So I guess my point being here is that synthetic vitamins are not the end of the world. They're just not great for when you get to the point that your system is immune compromised. And basically the way folks get to know it is when they're like, I've tried all these different supplements. I don't feel any better. I just keep feeling worse. That's when you know. And I don't want folks to have to go through that whole process, unfortunately. I think one of the things to think about is it might be worth it to try some of these whole foods-based supplements if you're feeling fatigued, you're feeling like you can't deal with stress, and you're feeling like you just keep getting worse and keep gaining weight, you're not able to deal with stress. I think it's worth it to try this. And especially if your hairs keep falling out, zinc is one of my favorite things to add back in and see if it helps. There's zinc liver chelate by Standard Process that can help you with that. So that's one thing. The other big thing is working on inflammation in the body, because if you make your immune system stronger and you fight infections, the next thing you need to do is to be able to detoxify everything that you're fighting, because you're going to have, particles left over from fighting. And so you need to be able to detox. And one of the best things here in this case is milk thistle, hands down for the liver. I love it for that. I also love turmeric as well. And I like boswellia. Boswellia is a cool herb as well. And sometimes I'll use boswellia first and then I'll use turmeric second. If anyone has gut issues, there's two types of turmeric. There's a bioavailable one, and then there is a one that, so bioavailable meaning like it's going to absorb across the gut lining and go into the bloodstream, and then there's one that just stays in your gut. And Designs for Health does have, and it is natural turmeric, it's not a synthetic, but what it does is they've got two different products, one that's specifically for being absorbed across the gut lining and to get to your joints and muscles and tissue, and then the other that stays in your gut. And so it's a two for one, calms gut inflammation and joints. Because sometimes I'll have folks taking turmeric, and I'm saying turmeric, curcumin, it's the extract in particular, I apologize. Curcumin is the extract. And so I have folks taking the curcumin, and you want the ones that do both if you have gut issues, because a lot of times folks will be like, I don't feel any less inflammation in my gut, and it's because it's getting absorbed and going across into the joints and muscles but not staying in the gut. So think about that. Another biggie is protecting the brain, because I don't know how many times as soon as the autoimmune process gets going in folks, the brain fog starts. And phosphatidylcholine is one of the most depleted amino acid molecules in particular. Phosphatidylcholine is one of the biggest substances that is related to helping to protect your brain. So some little tidbits here. What's the big takeaway? Why am I going through all of this with the autoimmune stuff? It's me trying to put out to everyone out there that I think it's important to go back to basics. We have a lot of hype out there in terms of powerful synthetic supplements and things of that nature, but sometimes it's a matter of going back towards restoring health. Sometimes I feel like as a naturopathic doctor, I want to help people with their symptoms. And I think about it and I go, oh my gosh, I've done nothing more than give the person an herb to cover up their symptom, to put a Band-Aid on things, than to really get to the root cause. And with autoimmune conditions, you've got to go back to the root cause. So if you think that you're starting to develop one, if you have brain fog, if you're fatigued, if you're having trouble with your digestive system, if you're having trouble with your thyroid, so you have Hashimoto's even, because a lot of people don't even link that Hashimoto's is an autoimmune thyroid condition, and it's going to lead to other stuff if you don't keep it in check. Or if you're just feeling overwhelmed, stress, and gaining weight, and you're overeating at night, and you can't stop it no matter what you've done, and struggling with it. Believe me, I've been there. I'm working on it really, really hard. But it is hard when you don't have your stress levels 100% in check. It takes time. It's nothing that's going to happen overnight, but it takes time. And I will share with you guys as we go through the podcast sessions how stress is manifesting in me and how I'm dealing with it. Because it's hard to admit as a doctor that you're not perfect. I'm not. I totally want everyone to know that I have my own struggles too. And I probably got into this profession because of my digestive system, for one thing. But I'm here to help all of you too. And that's why I want to talk through what's happening. But all that being said, if you're finding that your body's just not working like it used to, and you're starting to blame a lot of it on aging, stop. Stop blaming it on aging. Go and figure it out. And if you don't have someone near you to help you figure it out, I highly recommend looking into where your saliva cortisol levels are at. You can go to ZRT Labs. They will send you kits. Do an adrenal function test. It's going to be the hormone DHEA and cortisol 4 points. So it'll be before breakfast, before lunch, before dinner, and before bed. And those points will tell you what's happening with your adrenal glands. Are you fatigued? Are you, and fatigued is a hard word. It's like, are you more imbalanced? So has the fight or flight response really got you? Or are you doing okay? Or are you somewhere in between? It's vital to know, because it matters on how you treat yourself. And I have a whole course on my website on how to manage stress related to the adrenal glands. And I highly recommend that you check it out. I've got all kinds of details. I also have details on my website at drjkrausnd.com, where I have resources in terms of great diagrams that outline to you what's happening in your body, especially if you have insomnia. If you can't sleep, that's not good. That will set you up for having autoimmune conditions in the long run. So there's a lot of different things that I've mentioned in this podcast, and I'm going to have a link to my resources page, but also I will have it outlined at on my resources notes at drjcrossnd.com at the end of the podcast notes, so that you can see all of the different things that I recommend for restoring your basic health. Because I think a lot of us need to go back to basics. We need to make sure that we're detoxifying. We need some milk thistle. We need some curcumin. We need to make sure that we're getting in the basic minerals to help us to detoxify. So magnesium, zinc, calcium. We need our vitamin C. We need echinacea. Those things help us to process toxins in the body. We need a little bit of vitamin B2 and B3. Those are useful. And so starting with those, getting your basic whole foods-based minerals in, your vitamin C, your vitamin E, those are your antioxidants. Getting those guys in are crucial for helping to boost your immune system. Same thing with vitamin A. It helps with boosting your immune system function on your mucosal tissues. And so using all of those things to help promote good innate immunity can help you from developing autoimmune conditions. It'll help you to fight any chronic infections that you may have. If you're interested in finding out if you have chronic infections, you can easily test these things. I wouldn't recommend going through a traditional insurance base because it's going to be really expensive. There are discount labs that can help you with that. And all the naturopathic doctors should know the discount labs to help you with getting the proper testing. If you live in the Pacific Northwest, you should consider molds as an issue, especially yeast and Mycoplasma pneumoniae. It's a real deal in terms of a pneumonia issue. And in the Pacific Northwest, it's more prevalent. Lyme disease, while it's ubiquitous now throughout the U.S., I do see it still heavily in anyone who grew up in the East Coast area, the Midwest, Middle West. Not as high prevalent in the West Coast, but I'm shocked as how more and more prevalent it's becoming. And probably some folks are listening to this and going, no, it's totally prevalent. So whatever it may be, if you've had a tick bite or don't even know and you spend a lot of times out in the woods, get Lyme tested. Just do it. So check for chronic infections. Look for Epstein-Barr virus. I will write down what you need to ask your doctors so that you've got everything there at your hands to do a proper assessment to know, do you have the components for a lurking autoimmune condition? And if you have autoimmune condition going already, I highly recommend that you go and see a naturopathic doctor and you go and work really hard on boosting your immune system, eating as good as you possibly can, and working on dealing with your stress. Because like I said before, the two main indicators of how well you age are how well you deal with stress and how well you manage your blood sugar. So if you're pre-diabetic, you need to deal with this. If you're diabetic, get on it. If you are not even sure where your blood sugar's at, go to your doctor, get a hemoglobin A1C, get a complete liver panel, do the fractionation study, which means looking at all of your lipoprotein fractions. And I'll write this all down in my resource notes at drjcrossnd.com so you can do more information, get more information and do more investigation on your own self. But point being here is I don't want anyone to end up developing autoimmune disease, and I'm working like heck to prevent myself from developing an autoimmune condition. And I will keep you guys updated as to how my stress management and stress eating goes as time develops and the tricks that I found to teach myself how to eat properly and how to eat again and how to portion control. So you have survived another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning into The Health Fix, the podcast all about taking control of your health, rebelling against aging, and having fun every day. A lot of patients ask me, do you think I'm aging too fast? So I created an evaluation checklist for you to see for yourself. Plus, I created a resource guide to help you slow down the aging process right now. You can find it for free on my website, drjcrausend.com. If you like this podcast, help get the word out to others by liking it and rating it. If you'd like more natural health tips and want to join our Facebook community where I interact daily, click on the Join Group button on our website at drjcrausend.com.